So what happened?
You either get smart or find another job. I guess I got smart.
No, I mean, what happened when you got screwed?
Oh, well, it happened a different way each time. Even though I got burned more than a few times, at least I can say I was never cheated the same way twice. Not too many can say that. When I first started driving, right after I got divorced from my wife, I was eager for any kind of steady work I could find. I took on a bunch of loads from Toronto to Chicago and back again a couple of times a week. I thought I was doing great, until I realized that because I was being paid by the book rate, I was getting ripped off big time.
Why is that?
Well, from the plant in Scarborough to the destination in Chicago was 591 miles on the hub. But the book says Toronto to Chicago is 490 miles. After you've done 5 trips, you've given the company 1 free ride.
So how did that one end?
I quit that company, found some other loads.
Johnny looked disappointed. Mark couldn't blame him. That sort of solution wasn't going to help him any.
Another time, a company I was carrying for put out the word that they were looking for loads. So I put them in touch with a broker I knew. After they got in touch with each other, the company did a credit check on the broker. And everything looked okay. They started taking on loads and everyone was happy. But a few months later, this broker went bankrupt. These things happen in this business. But this company starts charging me 5% and 6% on my loads to repay them the money they lost dealing with this broker.
What?
Yeah, that's right. Just because I knew this guy and I put the two of them together, the company figures I should be on the hook for the loss.
So what'd you do?
Hired a lawyer and sued the bastards.
And got your money back?
No. This lawyer was a bigger crook than the trucking company was. He just took my money, promised he'd take care of it, and never did a damn thing for me. I found out a few years later he'd been disbarred by the Law Society. Felt good to hear it, but it really didn't help me any. I never did see any of that money.
So I guess a lawyer's no solution?
It sure isn't. Even if you win, you lose, since it'll cost you twice as much in legal fees to take the cheaters to court.
I don't mean to sound ungrateful or anything, Mark, because you've been a big help to me, getting me on the road and everything, but all you're telling me is bad stuff that happened to you, and none of it is going to help me. Do you have any ideas about what I should do or not?
Yeah, I got an idea.
They took their coffees over to the payphone, and Johnny called his broker at JJ&G.
Hey, Tony, how's it going? This is Johnny Jones. Yeah, have you had any luck finding those missing bills of lading? I know you're busy, and I appreciate the fact that you're still looking for them, but I could really use the money. Well, I know you can't pay me until you find them, but you know, I did hand them in to you.
Mark thought he'd be fine just listening to one side of the conversation, but he found that he wasn't. He had to hear both sides of the conversation, so he got close to Johnny and pressed an ear up to the receiver.
You say you handed in the bills of lading, but I haven't been able to find them. I'd like to take your word on it, Johnny, but I have to have the paperwork before I can pay.
Johnny was holding a hand over the phone whenever Tony was talking, so Mark could instruct him during the call.
Ask him for another load.
All right. If you say you're still looking for him, I guess I'm just going to have to trust you on it. In the meantime, I sure could use another load.
That's what I like about you. Not only are you loyal, but you're hardworking too. I'll tell you what. I'll give you a primo load this time, complete with an on-time bonus.
Listening to this Tony talk, Mark wondered how he was able to sound like an insurance salesman when he was only handing out loads. Johnny took his hand away from the phone and spoke into the mouthpiece.
What's the load?
Broccoli. You go down to Florida, bring it back by next Tuesday, you'll be rolling in dough.
Nah, it's too far and not time sensitive enough.
But won't broccoli go bad?
It's not enough.
I was hoping for better.
What do you mean? That's a good load.
Tell him you have a phobia about broccoli because you were forced to eat it as a child.
I kind of have a phobia about broccoli. I was forced to eat it when I was younger. Don't you have anything else?
All right. I shouldn't do this, since these kinds of loads usually go to more senior drivers, but I know you're in a bind, and I want to help you out. I got a load of car parts. Needs to be picked up in Flint and delivered to GM in Oshawa Friday morning. If you think you can get to Flint and back by 11 a.m. Friday, you can have a load.
Bingo.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Sounds great. All right, so what do we do now?
We go to Flint.
But I thought we'd go in the morning. I got till Friday morning to be back in Oshawa.
For what I've got in mind, we're gonna need every extra minute we can spare.
Working as a team, Mark and Johnny had no trouble getting to Flint in time to pick up the load and turn it back around for Oshawa. They kept the bill of lading taped to the dash of Johnny's freightliner, neither one of them letting it out of their sight the whole trip. Mark found the trip more relaxing than it should have been. Even though they would soon be taking on some risky business when they got to Oshawa, the company of another driver, someone to talk to over the miles, was a nice change of pace from driving on his own week after week.
Have you always been a truck driver?
Me? No. I used to be a private investigator.
No kidding. Just like Jim Rockford or Thomas Magnum.
Sort of like that.
Did you carry a gun?
Nope. And I never needed one either.
Ever work any big cases?
It depends on what you consider to be a big case. I did a lot of surveillance work. You know, guys wanting to know if their wives are cheating on them. Or insurance companies wanting proof that some guy claiming he's got a bad back is really hurting or just trying to milk the system.
You caught guys like that?
Oh yeah, plenty. See, most guys who figure they can cheat the system already think they're too smart to get caught. I remember this one guy who, he said he hurt his back working on a loading dock. He went around a corner with a box in his hand, lets out this yell, and then he comes back around the corner all hunched over and saying he can't straighten up anymore.
How'd you catch him?
He was stupid. After 3 years, he's awarded this big payout. But after receiving the judgment and before getting the check, I followed him one Sunday to a soccer field. I thought he was just going out to watch the game. But imagine my surprise when he suited up for one of the teams. I wrapped my camera in the Sunday paper and taped him scoring a goal and being tackled by all his teammates. The insurance company showed the tape to a judge, and the guy was arrested for fraud while I got a 5-figure bonus.
Why did you get out of the detective business?
A man came into my office one day and said he thought his wife was cheating on him. He'd had a feeling she was losing interest in him for a while, and he figured it was because he was fat. When their sex together started getting tired, the guy came to me. I took the case, followed the woman for a week, and she eventually met someone at a local motel.
Yeah, so?
So I managed to set up my camera in an open window and taped the woman having sex with her new lover.
Oh, man. You must have got some pretty hot stuff over the years.
Yeah. Except the lover this woman was with just happened to be my wife.
Oh, Mark, man, I'm sorry, I didn't...
It's okay, man, don't worry about it. See, I was spending so much time watching other guys cheat on their wives, I wasn't paying enough attention to the woman I was leaving home every night. I don't blame her for what she did, but I would have appreciated her just telling me it was over so we could go our separate ways.
That when you became a driver?
Yeah. Sold everything I owned, bought a rig, and headed out to the open road.
Do you still do any detective work?
Well, let's just say I help people when they need it.
Gotcha.
By the time Friday morning rolled around, they were in position and ready to place the call. Mark offered Johnny the use of his cell phone, but Johnny wanted to do this on his own cell, just in case things went wrong and there'd be some record of Mark's involvement through the phone company. Mark appreciated Johnny's concern, and had a feeling that after this episode was over, he'd be a lot better able to take care of himself than he had been before.
Hi, Tony. This is Johnny.
Hey. How's it going?
Well, not so good.
What's wrong? Didn't you get the load?
Mark was listening in on the cell and was delighted to hear there was some real panic in Tony's voice.
I got the load all right, but I can't deliver it.
What do you mean you can't deliver it?
My truck's broke down and, well, I don't have any money to get it fixed right now.
Send another truck to take the load.
What should I do?
Say yes and hang up.
Yeah, sure, Tony. Okay, that'd be good.
Wait until he realizes he hasn't got a clue where you are.
Oh, yeah.
A few minutes later, Johnny's cell phone rang.
Johnny Jones.
Johnny, this is Tony again. I can't send a truck if I don't know where you are, buddy. Where are you?
Mark was ready to tell him what to say, but Johnny was beginning to get the hang of it.
Let me check. Somewhere between Flint and Toronto.
Okay, cut the funny stuff. I need to send a truck right away if it's gonna make it into Oshawa on time.
I'm not telling you where I am, Tony.
Why not? What's going on?
This load's not going into Oshawa until I...